Weeks Radio Sport.
Good evening, sports fans around the Isle of Man. Rob Pritchard here once again on this quite a murky Friday evening. Hope you've had an excellent week. Coming up this evening, the Manx Football Leagues are looking ahead to the new season with pre-season schedules underway. How they've been going and what the start of the new campaign holds, we'll be taking a look at that. After what feels like an eternity, rugby is returning to Manx shores this autumn. We'll find out a bit more about that as well. And the island's one and only off-road triathlon is fast approaching, and a final push is underway to encourage those thinking of taking part to make sure they're involved. That is all to come this evening. So, turning first to rugby, as I mentioned there, it may have felt like a very, very long time for some, but rugby is returning to the Isle of Man in a couple of months' time. And to tell us a little bit more about what's going on, we're joined by Dave Christian. So, Dave, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, Rob. It's been difficult, to say the least, I think, since the late March 2020, when COVID arrived and put the kibosh on the end of the 1920 season. And then pretty much destroyed the 2021 season as well. We're very fortunate here. We had games between September and Christmas on the island. They didn't in the United Kingdom. And our last game was 21st of February. So we've been pretty much without any action since then. Probably the best place to start is the English Clubs Championships, or the National Leagues as they're called. The 21-22 season, we're going to see Douglas and Vagabonds Ladies competing, but Ramsey and Vagabonds aren't. Douglas will be at level 6. They're in exactly the same league as they were at the end of the 19-20 season. Been a couple of new faces come in. There's a relegation from the league above. There's a team come in from a league that's levelled across sideways from one of the Yorkshire leagues, and a couple of promotions from the league below. But pretty much Douglas will know and have played against all of the opposition that they've got in the league. I think Glossop's one of the new teams. Carlisle have come down from the league below, but Glossop have played in Vagabonds League previously, and Carlisle, I've actually watched a Carlisle game at Portishee. There's plenty of history between them. Douglas won't be too fazed by this. Their first game, I think, is away against Vale of Loon. That's on the 4th of September, so that's only a couple of weeks away. They'll be finalising pre-season training for that one. Vagabonds Ladies, they're in exactly the same league as they were at the end of the 19-20 season. I think there's one club less. They're down to 7 in the league rather than the 8 that they had. There's a new team, Littlebrough. They're just outside Rochdale, but apart from that, the opposition that Vagabonds Ladies will be coming up against, exactly the same as previous seasons. Their first game is not till the 26th of September, so there's a little while yet for the ladies to get honed into perfect shape for the action. They played last season domestically in non-contact form with the men locally, just to help with the sort of running skills, running angles and ball control. But there was no contact allowed, so that sort of... It gave them a sort of result that nobody really liked. The men didn't like it because it was non-contact. The women didn't like it was non-contact. But we have to follow national governing body rules, and men and women don't play against each other in rugby union. For Vagabonds and Ramsey, the story's a little bit different. At the end of the 19-20 season, there was a little bit of a mini revolution in RFU North, which is the divisional organising committee that sorts out rugby in the North West. And there'd been a row going on for about 10 years between Cumbria Rugby Union and Lancashire Rugby Union about travelling distances. And in the end, Cumbria very helpfully said to Lancashire, well, go on, leave then if you want, we don't care. And Lancashire said, thank you very much, we will. And I can't remember the exact number of clubs that left from the Lancashire Rugby Union, but they were predominantly around the bottom two leagues of the Northwest structure, which was where Ramsey and Vagabonds were. It might have been 32, it might have been 34, but I think the probably the best number to describe it is a good scutch. They all left. They've set up their own league system, and that's going to stay until the end of this coming season. And we're not going to see those clubs return into the English Clubs Championship till probably September 2022, if an RFU rescue plan works and gets them back. Until then, there isn't a league for Ramsey or Vagabonds to go into. There's simply nobody there to play because the Lancashire clubs have gone. And you can sort of see their point. If you were from Duckingfield, which is on the east side of Manchester, and you had to travel to, I don't know, Whitehaven, for example, you're talking probably about 3 hours each way on the road just to get there and back without playing the game. And the Lancashire clubs were just saying, no, that's a little bit too much for us. And you kind of sympathise with that as well. And I think the RFU had it right. They were trying to organise their leagues regionally to reduce travelling distances, but they've also got one eye on mismatches. And it's great playing locally where you don't have to travel very far, but not if you're losing 120-0. So it's a delicate balancing exercise. I'm not saying they got it right, and I'm not saying they got it wrong, but clearly other people are, and they voted with their feet. So that means Ramsey and Vagabonds into domestic rugby for the second season now. They're going to form a league with Southern Nomads and Douglas Celts that will be played for the Manx Trophy. First round of fixtures for that is the 2nd of October. And the second teams, for want of a better way to describe them, and I don't want to be disrespectful with them, but Castletown, Western Vikings, Ramsey Seconds, Vagabonds Seconds, and Southern Nomad Seconds will form their own league of five, and they will play for the Manx Bowl and all those fixtures. I said first round, 2nd of October, and they finish on the 11th of December, just before Christmas. And that will just about wrap it up for that. Between now and the 2nd of October, we've got three rounds of friendly fixtures. We've got games scheduled for Sunday the 29th. That's on the Super Manx Bank holiday weekend at Vagabonds. And then again on the 11th and 18th of September. Those games will publicise a bit closer to the time, but they're likely to be one at Ramsey and probably one at Douglas. And they're going to play a sort of mixed friendly Isle of Man versus the rest of the world to sort of mirror the British Lions series we've had during the summer.
I think you came up for air, I think, there twice overall. For those who can't see, Dave has no papers in front of him, but has gone through so many details there. But just one question to add really to that is the fact that with all these changes and the fact that there has been such a gap in playing time and training time, what are the sort of preparations that clubs have been able to do in the time that has elapsed?
Well, the first thing is player safety is the first thing that comes to mind, and everyone's got to make sure that their players are as fit as possible and accustomed to having the physical contact. Remember, we haven't had a full contact game of rugby since the 21st of February. There've been some limited forms of the game that were played just after our final lockdown ended, but full contact is the key issue. And I know pre-season training at Ramsey, which is my club, that started just after Tynwald. The lads have been going at it now for about 6 weeks or so. They'll be on to full contact drills in training now and looking forward to getting these local domestic friendlies into play so they can actually get a little bit of match fitness built up as well. But the key is again, physical conditioning. You have to be right for it. The body takes a hell of a pounding during some of these games. And to make sure it comes out at the best at the end of it, you've got to prepare properly going in.
Excellent. So many things covered there. But with the challenges of so many things being moved about, just as a final question, really, is there a bit of a silver lining to it? Does it represent a new challenge that teams and players can relish going forward?
Well, the start of last season with the COVID disruption that we'd had over the summer, we played a series of local fixtures. We sort of split the island into four quarters, north, south, east and west. And the four quarters each formed their own team. They had their own little coach. The guys were training together as much as they could and then meeting up to play at a sort of competition format at the weekends. And that worked really well because the players were able to play alongside people they'd normally be playing against. It's helped bridge some of the gaps between the clubs and create new friends along the way, which is part of the experience of playing rugby union, to be honest. That will help this year with the Isle of Man versus the rest of the world. We'll be doing that same thing again. If anything, I think Vagabonds and Ramsey coming into the domestic league strengthens it a little bit. We've struggled over the past few seasons. Southern Nomads, Douglas Celts been dominating proceedings. Great to have some opposition in there that are going to give them a good run of it and perhaps allow the second team's clubs to just keep on their own, not get those big thrashings that have happened over the past few years and perhaps be able to build and move forward.
plenty of stuff to look forward to, Dave. Thanks very much, and all the best for the preparations going into the next campaign. So many exciting things to look forward to there. Okay, so moving on slightly, you have less than a month to sign up to the island's one and only off-road triathlon. Granite Man is back and is set to take place in and around Kringle Reservoir on the 19th of September. Lindsay Smith from sponsors Brown Kane & Co. and Sharon Connor from event host the Children's Centre spoke to Rhiann Evans.
I was part of a mixed Brown Kane team and I took part in the run. So I did the 5K run. It's through the plantation. It's a nice route, a little bit hilly, but not too far. 5K for runners out there, it's not too hard. Yeah, and again, enjoyable. So this is my third year. I am not committed to a team yet, but it's looking likely that I might be part of one.
So. Doing the swim.
I was just going to say, do I say this? One element missing, and that could be the swim.
Do I say this out loud and commit myself? I'll do the swim.
Well, the way you describe the event sounds like the perfect way to get into doing triathlons. If anyone hasn't done one before, this sounds like a really nice sort of introduction into the sport.
Absolutely. It is, yeah, and it is a challenge, but this year we are actually joining up with Rhiann Downey as well. So on this Sunday coming at 10 o'clock at Kringle Reservoir, where Ryan's going to be there and going to do a little recce as well for the cycle and the run. So if anybody is interested and wants to get a little bit more of a feel of the route and the distance and the terrain as well, because it is pretty hilly in some of the areas, they're more than welcome to come along at 10 o'clock. You don't have to sign up for the event, but just come down and have a little look and get a little bit of some tips maybe and find out what's the good way to go around. And
well, what would your tips be, your words of wisdom?
I would say for me, make the most of the recces. There's two dates. I didn't do that with a professional. I went down on my own and looked through the routes before I turned up, but absolutely doing a recce individually or as part of the ones provided by the Children's Centre, I would say is the best tip for me. Second tip would be bring your waterproofs. A couple of years ago, the weather wasn't great. But last year, weather was fantastic.
Beautiful last year,
and you couldn't be in a more beautiful part of the Isle of Man. Yeah. It is stunning.
And how are entries looking at the moment?
Entries are absolutely fine. We've already topped over 40 so far, but we all know that obviously in the Isle of Man, it's normally lastminute.com and people sort of wait a little bit before they register. But we have actually got 40 signed up already. There will be a certain cutoff. Obviously, we have to make sure, you know, when you've got 70, 80, 90, 100 people all going into the reservoir to swim at the start, you know, we have to be quite protective of nobody gets injured. But no, still plenty of time to register. And it's going to be another phenomenal event.
Manx Radio Sport.
Best of luck to all those taking part in that. Well, we've been watching, footballing-wise, the progress of the likes of FC Isle of Man at the start of their first ever league campaign. The Manx Football Leagues are getting prepared for a new season. Pre-season preparations have got underway for the new campaign, which is not too far away. To take us through what's been happening and what's coming up after what feels like forever, actually, we're joined once again by Tony Meppam. He's back in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you, Rob. And yeah, it's been, well, not too long for us to recover. And we finished end of June for the 2021 season. Now we go 21-22. And September we go. We give the guys a little bit of an extra break to just get over the tired legs that they had. A lot of games towards the end to get it done and dusted with the COVID pandemic. But I'm glad to say that a week tonight, Rob, we'll have the Eric Fletcher Charity Shield, 7 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl. And that's usually between the league winners and the FA Cup winners. Well, that was the same team, Corinthians. So Russian being runners-up in the league, they come in. So hopefully a terrific game next Friday, 7 o'clock at the Bowl.
Corinthians had a remarkable season last season. But in terms of maybe just trying to get a bit of an upper hand mentally, what can Russian do to challenge them in this first real fixture of the pre-season?
Well, I think the problem is both with Corinthians, both with Russian, they're in unknown territory now because, you know, Corinthians last week, I think it was six of their players were in the FC Isle of Man squad. I think Russian are near enough the same numbers. So those two teams have been decimated. So they've got to now try and bring players in to, you know, make them competitive again. And when you've got people like Sir George's Peel and Sir Mary's around that, it could be a little bit closer. But I think both sides, I wouldn't say slow coming back into pre-season training, but delayed it a little bit because they were in the thick of the action towards the end of June. And the players now are just getting up to speed, plenty of friendlies kicking around. And, you know, yes, both sides are struggling a little bit with numbers at the moment because, you know, that gap that's been left with players going to play for FC Isle of Man now needs to be filled. So both sides are looking for players.
And not just in terms of the Premier League, but in terms of all the divisions, really. Are there any in particular, teams-wise, players-wise, that you think are potentially going to make a big impact this coming season?
Well, I think Division 2 is quite interesting. When you look at the sort of Premier League, you've still got to look at Corinthians. You know, Russian, I think Peel will be much improved, and they're a side to look out for. You've got St George's struggling a little bit on numbers because they're the same scenario. Players playing for FC Isle of Man. But St Mary's, I've got a little bit of a fear for them because, you know, when you look at Frank Jones, Jack McVeigh, Alex Harrison, they're in FC Isle of Man. And St Mary's only had one team last season. So to lose that quality, there's other players there just looking and think, well, we're not going to compete here. So they're starting to wander, which is not good for St Mary's. Hopefully they can pull it together, but I think it's going to be a massive ask. And all I can say is anybody out there who would like to play for St Mary's is please get in touch with the club, get in touch with the FA. We'll guide you where to go. But yeah, at the moment, St Mary's under a little bit of pressure, and let's just hope they can get it sorted out and get a team out there.
As you mentioned, players with commitments to the likes of FC Isle of Man. Is there maybe not another side to this that might give some of the players who may be on the cusp of coming through or actually thinking of joining one of the other teams, is this an opportunity for others to maybe step into the fold and take up a position on the big stage, as it were?
Absolutely, because I look at Corinthians last week against Onken. There was, four of the under-18 team played for the first team. And they're good players, you know, like Joe Middleton and others, which gives them a great opportunity. I know you've seen the paperwork. The Isle of Man FA have advertised the new position or the vacant position of Isle of Man manager and women's manager. So it gives an opportunity for players who maybe just on the edge of getting into the Ireland squad. Now with FC Isle of Man players playing for FC Isle of Man, there's nothing to stop the FC Isle of Man players playing for the Ireland team. But their season's so busy, they're not going to be able to do everything. So I think it's looking like two separate squads that's going to take place, because I don't know how long their season's going to go, but you're talking May, June. So if the Ireland team are going away, I don't know, you know, towards the end of this year or start of next year, they're going to be sort of committed to FC Isle of Man. So it's going to be a new group of players coming through.
Yeah, like you say, it's not just a case of availability, but it's the strain that it might put on the players as well. Looking at the whole situation for both the Manx Leagues and for FC Isle of Man, what do you think needs to happen to be able to find that balance to make sure that the Manx Football Leagues can continue to thrive this season, but also that FC Isle of Man can continue their endeavours in their maiden league campaign?
Well, so the players are in charge. So the players make a choice of where they want to play. If they're in the Isle of Man squad, it's supposed to be a better quality football. They're only into their third game and they're still unbeaten, FC Isle of Man. They've drawn 2-1-1, so it's great. They're having a good start. But, you know, the players have got to get used to it. And the only sort of little sort of problem that I think they've got at the moment is for the first near enough 2 months, they're playing all the games away. So that means the players tomorrow, whatever, 6 o'clock, down at the boat, they go away, they play, and then they come back and they're not getting back till 10. Some of these players have got families. It's a shame that it's not home and away, and then it just breaks that up. But, you know, there's injuries at the moment to a couple of key players in Frank Jones and Sam Kane. So that means other players have got to be brought in. So it's just one of them, and clubs have got to get on with it. The clubs voted yes for FC Isle of Man to go. They have the first pick of the players. If the players want to play for them, they go and play. And then, you know, the clubs have to pick up the pieces and pick whatever players they've got left.
Well, Tony, thanks very much. And hopefully an agreement and understanding can come going into the new season. Thanks very much. Plenty to look forward to, hopefully. Thanks very much once again for joining us. Okay, that's all we have time for this evening. Whatever you're doing this weekend, hope you have a fantastic time. And until next time, bye for now. Manx Radio.